Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17, text 25, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Tat iti anabhisandhaya phalam yagya tapaha kriyaha dana kriyaha cha vividhaha kriyante mokshakangshibhihi tadityanabhisandhaya phalam yagya tapaha kriyaha dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksha kangshibhihi tadityanabhisandhaya phalam yagya tapaha kriyaha dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksha kangshibhihi. That iti thus anabhisandhaya without desiring phalam the fruitive result yagya of sacrifice tapaha and penance kriyaha activities dana of charity, kriyaha, activities, cha, also, vividhaha, various, kriyante, are done, moksha kangshibhihi, by those who actually desire liberation. Translation. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Purport. To be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. Tad ityanyabhisandhaya phalang yagya tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksha kangshibhihi. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement.
Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yatapata Kamalam Sri Gurunda Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Titan Nadevam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Sri Krishna Titan Nabhavanitananda Shedvaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this section of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is briefly describing the important words to be used in sacrifices, particularly the words Om Tat Sat.
These words are to be used while making sacrifices. Sacrifices are central in the Vedic way of life. That is generally performed under the Karma Kanda division of the Vedas, in which it's understood that people are mostly interested in material happiness, and that's why everyone's in the material world. So the Vedas, they have a process for elevation. Karma Kanda section of the Vedas is supposed to gradually elevate one to the platform of knowledge by which he becomes detached from material desire. And having become detached from material desire, then he should arise to the next stage, which is to be attached to the spiritual desire of serving Krishna. So there's karma, jnana, and bhakti. There's different stages. But most people are on the karmic platform. They're enjoined to perform sacrifices. Or even if a person is situated on the spiritual platform, he may also perform sacrifices. But ultimately the object of sacrifice is to satisfy Krishna. Therefore Krishna is called Yagyeshvara, the controller of the sacrifice. Yagya Bhuk, the enjoyer of the sacrifice. Or simply he's called Yagya, which means that he is non-different from the sacrifice. Krishna recommends early in the Gita, we see the verse, Yagyartat Karmano Nyatra, that work should be performed for the satisfaction of Krishna, for the sake of Yagya. Here the verse says, for the sake of Yagya. But all the commentators on the Bhagavatam, including even Shankaracharya, says that here the word Yagya means Vishnu, that ultimately all work should be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu. That is the Varnashram system. Varnashram acharavata purushena parapuman vishnur aradyate panta nanya tatto shakaranam. The Varnashram system is a system of living in this material world and performing one's duties according to scientific division of people into four orders of life according to occupation, four orders of life according to his ashram status as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyas. And then outside the vanashram system there are also the antyajas who don't follow the system. So they also have their classification. Women are also classified. Wife of a Brahmin is called a Brahmani. Wife of a Kshatriya has duties to perform in relationship to her husband's duty as a Kshatriya. Just like we see in the Bhagavatam when Krishna's birthday ceremony was there. So Yashoda called Rohini, who was living away from her husband due to the atrocities of Kamsa. So she was living in Vrindavan under the care of Nanda Maharaj. So when the time came for giving charity at the celebration of Krishna's birthday ceremony, Yashoda called that you please come, that Rohini, because she's the wife of a Kshatriya, she's expert in giving charity, which is particularly the duty of a Kshatriya. Brahmanas may also give, Vaishyas may also give, but specifically Kshatriyas is part of their unavoidable part of their duty, that they must do this. So everyone has their specific occupational duty, and the whole society revolved around sacrifice, yagya. Traditionally, every Vedic householder would perform a fire sacrifice in his home, at least every morning, if not in the evening. And there would be bigger sacrifices also. So they may be performed for the sake of a material gain for elevation to the heavenly planets. Or more advanced is to come to the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, which means to perform one's activities within the Karma Kanda system. But that means that someone has become more advanced, by which he's not desiring some result for his own benefit from the sacrifice. The sacrifice is performed for the sake of achieving some material benefit. That's why even though Lord Vishnu is worshipped through the process of sacrifice, it's not the same as bhakti yoga, in which the sense of sacrificing one's very life, one's very being to the Supreme Lord is prominent. Pure devotional service means that sense of sacrifice, of giving oneself to the Supreme Being, is not prominent, but it is only. There's no other desire. But there may be karma mishra bhakti, in which one still has some fruitive desire. But the desire to serve Lord Vishnu is stronger. Karma kandiya sacrifice means that Vishnu is worshipped, but the idea is to extract something from him. So higher than that is to come to the platform of performing one's duty only for the sake of doing it, without desiring to enjoy the fruit, to act only for the sake of dharma. Higher than that is to work simply for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So we see that great kings like Prithu Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, they performed sacrifices also. That was their duty as a king within the Varnashram system, to perform sacrifices, because by performing sacrifices, then Lord Vishnu is pleased, the demigods are pleased, the whole society is based around that, that the king collects taxes, and the taxes, they are used for performing big sacrifices in which charity is again distributed. So that is required within society, that the big sacrifice, the kingly sacrifices, they will be offering the results of the activities of the citizens to Lord Vishnu for the sake of the prosperity of the kingdom. Without sacrifices, Krishna relates in the third chapter of Gita, without this, that there is that everyone has to work and offer his result. Beginning with anad bhavanti bhutani. First of all, everyone needs food. Then parjanya dana sambhavaha. The food or the food grains, that is possible when there is rain. And rain is produced, that is, by the mercy of Indra, who is satisfied by sacrifices. And sacrifices can only be performed if people are performing their worldly activities properly. There's a whole, so many different rules and regulations of karma kanda to be followed. So when everyone follows their specific duty within the Varnashram system properly, without being sinful, or even if they are sinful, at least not grossly sinful, they're more or less following the Vedic system, then there's a question of performing sacrifice. People have to be pious, and then they can perform sacrifices. And there's no meaning to performing sacrifice. At least that kind of sacrifice won't be acceptable to Lord Vishnu. So there's a whole cycle of work. You have to work according to your prescribed duties. You have to perform sacrifices. Then, in this way, the demigods, being parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, who are his agents for providing the material necessities, they will be pleased and everything will be showered upon you. Here the word tat is mentioned. So om tat sat, these are words, specific words which have what we may call mystical meaning. They're essential in the performance of sacrifice to make everything work out properly. So these words, they all indicate the Supreme. Om tat sat iti nirdesho. They're an indicate. Brahmana. They are in om tat sat iti nirdesho brahmana. They are, and these three words indicate the Supreme. Om means the absolute truth. Tat means that. Absolute means, which here means that absolute truth. Tat tvamasi, that's famous Vedic aphorism, is misunderstood. That people think that the Mayavadis, they think this means that you are the Supreme Truth. That means that you are of the nature of the Supreme Truth, not that you are in all respects the Supreme Truth. So Om Tat Sat, Sat indicates again, that which is eternal, that which is real. So these three words indicate the absolute truth, and joined together, they have a specific potency. Just like we see, there are different words which, when joined together, they have specific potencies. They're called mantras. They're joined together in a specific way. So this is a powerful combination of words, Om Tat Sat, which is chanted for the fructification of the sacrifices. Now, in the modern age, there's very little question of following this Vedic process in its pristine form. Times have changed. In Kali Yuga, everything is contaminated. But the sacrifice is successful by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Now, the essence of this instruction Krishna has given is, here Prabhupada has explained, to be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Act should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. So that is the more advanced understanding of sacrifice, that everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So even though in the modern age it's not possible to perform sacrifices as they were done previously, but the essence remains the same. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. We're chanting Hare Krishna. You can also chant Hare Krishna even from a material point of view if you want to have your necessities. Just like rain, that is generally considered a necessity. I don't know. Seems like you have enough snow here. But at least in India and many places, nowadays there's shortage of rain due to the impious activities of the people. Otherwise, previously there was plentiful rain, even up to a short time ago. There used to be 2 monsoons every year. Now there's only 1. People have become less pious. There's not enough rain. Prabhupada, once he went to Hyderabad in one part of South India, which is generally quite dry. And at that time, they hadn't had any proper rain for 2 years. Sometimes the monsoon fails. It's a great anxiety for the farmers. In Gujarat, they went for 5 years without rain, just a sprinkling of rain. So many cattle died and people died. And so they were, at this time, they didn't have any rain. So when Prabhupada arrived at the airport, a journalist asked him, if you go to South India especially, they may ask you questions like this: are you Dvaitvadi or Advaitvadi? So Prabhupada said, what's the use of this question? You don't have any rain. You don't have any food. Why don't you think of first things first? In Gita, Krishna says, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani. Your first necessity is food. He doesn't say whether you should be Dvaitadvadi, Advaitadvadi. First necessity is food. Sounds something like Mother Teresa's philosophy or something like that. But Prabhupada, he gave the spiritual solution. Not that we simply open up soup kitchens to feed people, but why you don't have food? Because you're not following the process of sacrifice. You don't have rain because yagyad bhavati parajanyo. You need to have sacrifice, then there will be rain. So Prabhupada said, we have come here to have a Hare Krishna festival. We've come here to chant Hare Krishna. Then you'll get rain. So they had a festival, and within 2 days there was plentiful rain by chanting Hare Krishna. So even for your material necessities you can do. Even in 1971, there was Pakistan attacked India. So there was war. Prabhupada was in Delhi having Hare Krishna festival. They were having Hare Krishna festival at that time. So it's a very fearful situation, especially in Delhi, because it's not far from the Pakistan border. So anyway, within a few days, Pakistanis were smashed, as usual. They tend to get smashed by the Indian army. They didn't attack since. So Prabhupada said, because we had our festival, our devotees were chanting Hare Krishna, therefore they were defeated. This is the reason. So even for material gain, you have to have sacrifice. You, even for chanting Hare Krishna is meant for developing love of God. We don't tell people, chant Hare Krishna and your backache will be cured. We don't tell that, but it may or may not be. But for the society in general, for regulation of the weather, for general material prosperity, it's required to be religious. And that doesn't just mean going to church on Sunday, calling yourself a Catholic, keeping a picture of the Pope and having contraceptive sex. I'm a Catholic, but we love the Pope, but we don't follow what he says. That's not religious. Religion means dharmaṁ tu sakṣād, bhagavat pranītam, following what the Shastra says. The Shastra, ultimate goal of the Shastra is to teach us to surrender to Krishna. And even beyond surrender, Prabhupada explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching love beyond surrender. There's surrender, but beyond that even, na dhanam na janam na sundara, ashlishyava pat yuga yatam nameshena, there's progression of love of Krishna. So that is the ultimate goal of the Shastra. But even in Shastra is not only for some love of God. That is the aim. That is the aim and object of Shastra. But even for regulating our day-to-day life, Shastra is required. That's why in Shastra there's so much discussion how to live in this material world. Because if we don't know how to live in this material world, at least a materially pious life, sane life, then it's going to be very difficult for us to come to the highest platform. Generally, you have to go step by step. You're not immediately that you'll become absorbed in love of Krishna, but a step by step is required. A step by step means there should be regulation of our life. That's why we begin with Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of spiritual life, beginning with what Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatana Goswami, who is a gopi from the spiritual world, that Lord Chaitanya's Radharani also. So there, here we are, gopi and Radharani, but they have come to teach the yajna of chanting Hare Krishna by which you develop the highest love for God. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, you write a book of the duties of Vaishnavas, beginning with Pratadi Kritya. Danta Dhavana means rising early in the morning and brushing your teeth. So the aim of life is not to rise early in the morning or to brush your teeth. But unless you rise early in the morning and brush your teeth and live as a sane life, and of course that's not all you do. I mean even the postman rises early and brushes his teeth. Doesn't mean he's a pure devotee of Krishna. But then these things are required for executing Krishna consciousness. You have to worship the deity. The deity, he rises early in the morning. He doesn't stay up at night till 2 o'clock watching videos and then rises at 10 o'clock in the morning. And Krishna himself, he teaches how to live a sane life. When he's living in Dwarka, he's living a sane life, rising early in the morning. So if you want to worship Krishna, you have to get up to so you can worship him, and then you have to brush your teeth because you don't want to go there with all smelly breath and dirty teeth. You have to worship Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. So all these things, rising early in the morning, brushing your teeth, then passing nature, taking bath, all these things are required in human society. Rules and regulations to be followed. Devotee follows these rules and regulations. Here is mentioned, not for any material gain, but for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Brushing your teeth in the morning won't transfer you to the spiritual kingdom, simply by brushing your teeth. But if you don't brush your teeth and worship the deity and perform acts of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then you're not going to be transferred to the spiritual kingdom. You see? It's not the brushing your teeth, but you have to brush your teeth so you can worship the deity and be sane and be in the mode of goodness. Not only brush your teeth, fresh cloth, take a bath. All these things are given just so that we can come to the platform of goodness and by which we can be elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness. If we live in the lower modes of material nature, there's no question of spiritual advancement because everything we do affects our consciousness. If you sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning and then get out of bed and drink a cup of coffee and eat some sausages, then that's in the mode of ignorance. Then where is the question of spiritual elevation? So rising early, first thing, in the Brahma Muhurta, in the hour which is meant for spiritual elevation, and then engaging in spiritual activities, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, worshipping Krishna. And then later in the day, there may be so many material activities, whatever it may be, working in the field, or working in the office, working in the hospital, whatever it may be. But at least the Brahma Muhurta, the early morning, should be spent for Brahma activities, spiritual activities. So these, for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, that should always be kept in mind. What is our ultimate gain of goal of life? Is to go back home, back to Godhead. But how are we going to go there? Go back home, back to Godhead means not just by imagination you'll go back to Godhead. There is a process of sadhana bhakti. That everything has to be followed scientifically. Prabhupada always used to say that Krishna consciousness is a science. That means if you perform your activities according to the direction, the scientific directions of Shastra, then you can be elevated. And if you don't follow, then how can you expect to be elevated? There are certain rules and regulations to be followed. So Shastra gives directions to regulate all aspects of human society. It's not only for chanting Hare Krishna, but even within our Vaishnav culture, brushing your teeth, beginning from this. Then for the broader society, there is the Varnashram system, which is the perfect social system, which gives the organization of society, how society should be organized, so that everyone is engaged meaningfully, and everything is centered on satisfying Krishna. We see that even Krishna himself acted, of course sometimes he acted outside the Varnashram system. His dancing with the gopis is not according to Varnashram regulation. That's why often people misunderstand. But especially when he was living at Dwarka, he lived as an ideal king. And all the devotees in history, they've acted according to this system. Even Harihash Thakur was outside the Varnashram system according to the social understanding at that time. Although he was the topmost Brahmana, because he was always engaged in chanting the Tarak Brahmanam, the name, the spiritual name, which is meant for lifting us up beyond this material world. So he was the topmost Brahmana, being a topmost Vaishnav. But the restriction was there that he should not enter the temple of Jagannath, so he didn't enter. But the Supreme Lord himself, even though he could not go to see the Supreme Lord in the form of Jagannath, Jagannath came to see him every day in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered to be for the scholars, they see him as a social reformer because he allowed that anyone from any caste, they can chant Hare Krishna. It's not only that Brahmanas can chant Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't discriminate. He didn't discriminate that you can't chant Hare Krishna because you're not from a high family. Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga. Shatkul vipra nahe bhajane joga. Jai bhaji shai baro abhaktahin acha. Krishna bhajane nahik jatkul adi bicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in taking to Krishna consciousness, there's no consideration of whether you're from a high family or a so-called low family. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is glorious, and anyone who doesn't, even if he's born in a so-called high family, he's not at all glorious. He's rejected. Prahlad Maharaj, this is the verdict of all the Shastra. Prahlad Maharaj said the same thing, that even if someone's born in a very high family, Brahmana family, or even if he has Brahminical qualities, if he's not a devotee of Krishna, then what is his position? Vipradvishadagun aravindanaba vimukhat. Those who are, well, you may have all the qualities of a Brahmana, but if you are aravindanaba vimukhat, if you are against the Supreme Lord, aravindanaba, padaravinda, if you're not worshipping his lotus feet, then svapacha varishto, a devotee who's born in a family of dog eaters, he's better than you. This is the verdict of Shastra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered a social reformer because he didn't follow the vitiated caste system of that time, in which it was considered that simply by being born in a Brahmin family, one is a Brahmin. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish what is the real Varnashram system. That is called Asuri Varnashram, in which simply on the basis of birth, one claims status. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish what is the actual system. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was questioning Ramananda Rai, what is the goal of life? Sadhya Sadhana Tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? So first of all, first thing that Ramananda said, Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tattosha Karanam, that everyone should perform their duties according to the Varnashram system. And at the same time, worship Lord Vishnu. This will satisfy him, Lord Vishnu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Eho Bhajya Age Koha. He rejected everything. Eventually, Ramananda Rai said, Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhajya. This is also external. That's not the essence. Why? Why is that? This is the ultimate teaching of Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go further. That, all right, you surrender, but even beyond that is love of Krishna. Surrender, all right. But what do you do after surrendering? Well, let's see, what's next? Age kohoa, what's more? Developing. So eventually, Ramananda Rai said the verse that sthane stita shuti katang tanuvang manobe ye priyasho ye priyaso jitatita apitai strilokyam, that you stay in your position, whatever it may be, and hear about Krishna from authorized devotees. Don't be puffed up. And in this way, you can conquer he who is unconquerable. How is that? You can conquer him by your love. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. But sthane stita, stay in your position. He didn't say that you have to give up your Varnashram duties. And although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately he rejected the Varnashram as external, but at the same time, he acted within that. He took sannyas. Why should he take sannyas? He's the Supreme Lord. But he accepted sannyas because it is part of there are various reasons for cheating the people, that they will respect me, thinking I'm a sannyasi. Then if they respect me, that's good for them, because I'm God. They're not respecting me now. They're making offenses. So somehow or other, if they respect me, that's good for them. So that was one reason. Another reason is that he could have just established, yes, I'm God, respect me. But he accepted sannyas, which he himself had quoted from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Sannyasa Pala Paitrika. Sannyas is one of the five things forbidden in Kali Yuga. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas. Why? Because it is part of the Varnashram system. So what is that sannyas that is rejected? That sannyas is that empty sannyas that is very prominent in this Kali Yuga, in which people think that by taking sannyas, I become God. So there's no meaning to such sannyas. Such sannyas is rejected. But the sannyas that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, that is for Mukunda Seva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas on the basis of one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, etansa astaya paratmanishtam adyasitam purvatamai mahadbi. Aham tarishami durantaparam tamomo kandangri mukunda seva. That sannyas is meant for being fixed in service of Krishna. As the previous acharyas all were for serving Mukunda. So that sannyas is required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that. Not that he needed to take sannyas for his elevation, but to show that such sannyas that is required, the Varnashram system is required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never tried to dismantle that. Those who are, just like we see, there was Chota Haridas. He was a vairagi. He was a renunciate. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected him even for his slight inclination towards breaking his sannyas vow. But then again, when Shivananda, his great grihastha disciple, came, he came with his wife, and he was seen, his wife was pregnant at that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't reject him. He rejected Chota Haridas. According to your system, you're now sannyasi, you shouldn't have any inclination towards sex life. But grihastha, yes, all right. When your child is born, you should give him this name, Puridas. He could see already, that's boy, son. So he didn't reject that. He didn't tell all the grihastas, you should immediately take sannyas. Within your sthane stita, within your situation, you execute Krishna consciousness. Later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very much concerned to establish Daivi Varnashram. He told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you should establish Daivi Varnashram. That means not the system based on birth, but based on quality. Why? Because, as stated here, acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. So that is required in human society, because everyone, it's not that just you chant Hare Krishna and then immediately everyone has visions of Goloka Vrindavan. Rather, we see that everyone's struggling in spiritual life because it's difficult. It's difficult. Why? Actually, it's not difficult. Prabhupada would often say, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is that we're all rascals. Otherwise, there's no difficulty. Otherwise, by chanting Hare Krishna, then Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadav Agni Nivarpanam, we should become cleansed and purified. But it's we're finding it's not happening so quickly because we're rascals. So what is the solution for us rascals? Therefore, we should follow the rules and regulations of spiritual life. And even the Shastra gives rules and regulations for our material life. And according to this ashram, you should act like this. According to this varna, you should act like this. So beginning from the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very anxious to introduce this Daivi Varnashram system so that people can live in this world in a sane kind of life. I mean, the material world is insane, but the Varnashram system is some for instituting some kind of sanity in an insane world. Why are we here at all? Because we're crazy. Nunang Pramata. Guru Tevi Karma, we're here because we're sinful, performing insane activities. The only sane activity is Krishna consciousness. Outside of that, everything is simply causing us to be born again and again. But the Varnashram system based on love of Krishna, that is a sanitizing process. That word is there in sanitary. That's not sane. That's in the medical field. The word sanitary means it's antiseptic, or it's clean, purified. So the Varnashram system, that is antidote to the insane society. Without that, then what happens? You have the modern society, the hedonistic society. All progress is progress in ignorance. I was just reading today. A very good description of modern society. Prabhupada described that people in the modern age, they follow so-called psychologists and philosophers because they need some kind of guidance. But who are they following? Freud, Darwin, Marx, Hume. These are all the acharyas of modern society. Acharya means he teaches by example. So these people are all degraded atheists. And people are following, they also become degraded atheists. So these psychologists, so-called philosophers of modern, these are the leaders of modern society. Politicians come and go, but the people are taking their ideas. What do you learn in school? The Darwin's theory. And then Freud built his theory on Darwin's theory. And you get so much, you know, this Freud is such an influential people. People think I have to go to a psychologist. And this man had so many mad ideas. This idea, every young boy is sexually craves for his mother. What a crazy idea. I mean, maybe he had a problem, but why should he think everyone has a problem like that? So, but this is one of the great acharyas of the modern age. And there are so many. You have your... the great thought leaders of the modern age, Mick Jagger, John Lennon, and I mean these people are degraded, but they very, I mean, extremely degraded people, but they have set the tone for modern life. That have one girlfriend, have another girl, get married, divorce, absolutely degraded people. So Prabhupada was saying that people are following modern philosophers, so-called. These people are called philosophers. Psychologists, but they don't know the basic point of knowledge, which is what? Dehino smin yata dehe kumarang yovanang jara tata dehantara praptiya dhiras tatra namuhyati. You're changing body. It's not simply we're talking about, often people in India talk about reincarnation. Do you believe in reincarnation theory? What theory? It's not a theory. The theory means it may or may not be true. But what reincarnation means you're changing bodies. You're already changing bodies. It's not that when you die you change body. Your body is already changing from boyhood to youth to old age. When you die you get another body, that's all. So if people don't understand this, Prabhupada was describing in the purport I was reading that the whole, as long as people don't understand this basic point, that we're not the body, we're changing from body to body, then all the progress, it's simply advancement in ignorance. And that we see. It's simply advancement in ignorance. And people think that, animalistically, that if I have a big house and a big car and a beautiful wife, and this is advancement. And then my wife grows old, naturally, so get another beautiful wife. You can change, just like you change a car. You see, the car gets old, get a new one. The wife gets old, get a new one. So this is their progress, because the purpose of life is sense gratification. We should enjoy the senses. So highest sense enjoyment is sex life. That means one bag enjoys another bag. So when one bag gets old and worn out, get a new one. That's all. So this is their advancement in ignorance. But in the Varnashram system, the wife is accepted as dharma patni. That wife should be accepted for the sake of elevation in spiritual consciousness. Not simply enjoyment is there. It's not that wife is also seeing how there's nice cooking and sex life is there. So that is there, but the higher principle is dharma patni. Wife should be accepted for the sake of, for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. That's why marriage is called vivaha sanskar. The marriage sanskar. Vivaha means marriage. Sanskar means purificatory ritual. Otherwise, animals, they simply meet together and live together. Now they're doing that. Modern society, let us live together for some time. And when we get fed up, we'll split up and we'll find someone else to live with. So there's no marriage ceremony. So it means animal life. The animals are doing that. They have no no idea that marriage should be entered into for the sake of, ultimately for the sake of elevation. I mean, even in the Christian tradition, which there's spiritual knowledge is almost zero. They don't even understand you're not the body. They think that Jesus will come and all your body, which is already eaten by worms, will come together again. And isn't it that you come together in the same body and go to the spiritual world? Maybe you grow some wings or something like that, but you have the same body. So they don't even understand you're not the body, but they understand that that marriage, you have to enter into that, taking a vow before God. So that, even though they don't understand very even basic spiritual knowledge, but even that they understand. But modern life means they don't understand at all how to live as human beings, how to eat nicely, elaborate arrangements for eating, sleeping, especially for sex, and very elaborate arrangements for what they call defense. The defense ministry means how to bomb the neighboring countries into extinction. Defense, how to get more and more weapons. So a very animalistic way of life, because they don't know that acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. So this Daivivan Ashram, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had the order from his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to establish that. So he did that within India by preaching against the idea that someone is a Brahmana by birth only, and especially because of his influence, that has, at least in Bengal, that's become very prominent, that a Vaishnava is to be accepted not simply by birth, but anyone who acts as a Vaishnava, he is to be accepted, not simply according to birth. But to establish that all over the world, that's a very great challenge. Prabhupada, on the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, preached Krishna consciousness all over the world. In the Western countries, they don't even have the perverted idea of the Varnashram system. At least in India, they have the perverted idea. So if it's perverted, you can, just like when your back is all out of order, you can crack and put it back in shape. But if you don't even have a backbone, the whole body becomes bleh. You can imagine if you remove the skeleton, then it just becomes a big blob. So it's like that in the Western world. There's no structure in society, either perverted or non-perverted. It's just some kind of chaos. There's no respect. Everyone's just considered the same, and young people, old people, parents, children, and everyone's just all the same. And in fact, the old people, they are rejected in Indian culture, any sane society, not only Indian culture, any sane society all over the world. Old people are respected because it's considered that they're supposed to be wise, whereas young people, they're inexperienced and they're very strong sensual pushings in youth, so they're expecting. Generally, youth and foolishness are considered to go together. And old people are supposed to be wise. And nowadays, we don't see old people so much wise because they spend their whole life in foolishness, so they grow up as old and foolish. To become wise means you have to spend your life acting in a sane manner, and then gradually you get the idea, we're supposed to do this, we don't do that, and then you become old and wise. But if you spend your whole life living as an animal, then how can you become wise? It doesn't happen. If you have no moral principles, religious principles, then you simply grow up as an old fool. But if someone does lead a life according to moral principles, religious principles, then he will develop some wisdom. Therefore, young people, they're supposed to follow what old people say. That's the traditional culture, even though they may not understand why. They do that with the understanding that those who are older than me, they have better knowledge. That's why you accept a guru also, because understood that he has better knowledge. Even I don't know what's best for me. Therefore, I should follow Guru. So there's a distinction. Those who have knowledge, they should teach. But nowadays, you see, what happened is the old people in the Western world, especially in the Western world, Eastern world, everywhere, it's all there. They became addicted to sense gratification. So they became older and not wise. So then the young people don't want to follow. And anyway, they follow the old people. I mean, the old people will tell you, do this, don't do that. And they just want to enjoy life like animals. So they think, why should we follow these people? We'll just do whatever we like. Do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. These are the mantras of the modern degraded society. Mantra means that which elevates you. So mantra is not the correct word. Maybe it should be some opposite word. Du mantra, nishman, non-mantra. That which degrades you. Mantra means that which elevates you. So there's no such word. Maybe we can invent some word for that which degrades you. Do your own thing. Well, the dogs are doing that. They don't need any philosophy. They do whatever they think is nice. So there's there's no respect for anyone. Whoever can enjoy sense gratification the best, they're considered the hero of modern society. If you have a big, strong body like Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's his name? I can never remember his name. He's considered to be a great hero of modern society. Or if you can sing and shout and scream in a microphone like Mick Jagger, even though it's almost time for him to die. He's still trying to pretend he's young. Then you're considered a great, great hero of modern society. You know, these are the role models that people are following. In India also we see young people growing up. They're completely insolent and nasty and mean because they grow up watching the Hindi cinema where the heroes of the cinema, I don't know exactly, I can imagine they spend their life punching people out and doing whatever they like. And if anyone argues, shoot them in the head. So they grow up seeing this, and this is how they perform, this is how they grow up. And they think what is this? Being respectful to elders or following anyone that's old-fashioned, out of date. We don't want to follow that. But what happens then, the whole society becomes just like hell. No one has any respect for anyone else. People only cooperate together so that they can get some mutual sense gratification. They say, be liberal. Just let everyone do whatever they like. Then everything is allowed. Divorce, abortion, intoxication, just everything is good. No control, no regulation. So Varnashram society, Prabhupada wanted to establish that. Varnashram society means structure, discipline. People don't want discipline. They want to do whatever they like. I'll take a guru, but if I don't like what he tells me, then I'll reject him. What's the use? Guru is just for giving blessings, that's all. Please bless me that I can, I'll imagine myself to be Krishna conscious. And Guru will give me blessings and I'll enjoy sense gratification. And that's what you find in India. Guru, people like. Guru, he'll simply give blessings, that's all. And people will touch his feet and he'll enjoy. Yes, they're respecting me. But Guru means you have to follow, that you accept. That discipline, shishya, shasham, disciple, discipline. It gives discipline. You should do this. If you're not prepared to follow, then why go through the farce of being a disciple? That I am now a disciple, but I don't follow anything. My guru is very merciful. Sometimes we hear this. Well, he's very merciful. That means he doesn't tell you or give you any instructions. That's what merciful means. My guru is very merciful. He lets me do whatever I like. That's not merciful. Merciful means he should perform you, he should engage you in acts that should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. You may like or not like, But you have to do that. Generally in Krishna consciousness, everything is nice. You like to do. At least if we have any taste for Krishna consciousness, then we like to rise early. We don't like, oh, how nice. Today is Christmas Day. I can sleep until 9 o'clock. There's no office. Today is Sunday. How nice. I'll sleep all morning. But no, a devotee thinks, oh, how nice. I can rise early in the morning. It takes place. But even if you don't like it, still you have to rise. Because that is the order. You're engaged in these activities for the sake of the ultimate gain of elevation to the spiritual kingdom. So that's required. Rules and regulations, Shastra Vidhi, that's called, both on the material platform, how to regulate our lives, on the very basic platform, beginning brushing your teeth, what is your occupation, how do you interact with others. So many rules of social behavior are there. And on spiritual platform, chant Hare Krishna. But chant Hare Krishna, that you're also living in the world, so the Vanashram system is there to regulate our lives, how we live in this world. And practically, until this system is established, then there's going to be chaos in human society. It's already chaos. There's some semblance of order. It looks like there's order because there's traffic rules and people go to work and this and... But it's chaos because people are performing sinful activities. And the result of that is they'll have to take birth in the lower species. So Vanashram system is required. That system is required. Prabhupada said that 50% of my work is not done because I didn't establish this. Can you imagine what a big job? Can you imagine what Prabhupada did? Unprecedented in the history of the world. And he said 50% of the work isn't done. But he wanted to do it. He didn't say we can't do it or we shouldn't do it. He said we should do it. He did say it's not possible to do it in the way, with all the rules and regulations of the previous age. But still he wanted to do it. And how is it possible to do it? By chanting Hare Krishna, by spreading the Krishna conscious movement, and gradually people will be convinced of the necessity to lead a life in a sane manner. And anyone who is good, even people may not be very spiritually elevated, but many people, somewhat intellectual people, can see the modern society. It's insane. What is the point of living like this? Simply neck-breaking, working hard activities, running fast all day, all night, simply to get some stomach ulcer and heart problem. And what is the use of this society? So many people can see this society, it's progressing, running, but all completely in the wrong direction. Therefore, Krishna conscious movement has got a great responsibility to establish this society. So Prabhupada said that if we these farm communities, Prabhupada said, people will eventually join in their millions. People will come. Because how long can this society go on? Very artificial society. We see all over the world now in various places, there's economic collapse in Russia, Japan, Singapore, Taiwan, Malaysia. How many countries will we say? That because it's all based artificial adjustment of stocks and shares and adjustment of the value of the currency, and if something slips, it's just like a house built on a poor foundation. If the foundation slips, the foundation, and then the whole economy collapses. That's going on now. And so economic collapse can happen at any time. Then the whole society is based on moving things from one side of the world to other, driving, and they drive trucks full of wine from Southern Europe to Northern Europe, and from Northern Europe they bring, I don't know, maybe cheese or something. They bring oil from different parts of the world. It's highly artificial. It's based on this oil economy. How long will America go on bombing out Saddam Hussein to keep their supply of oil running? How long will the oil supply last? And then what will you do? And then they'll try to invent something else. But anyway, it's all. In any way the society can collapse. There can be war. Now they're talking about this
Y2K problem. Problem, they invented the problem in the name of their progress. And now they're talking about so many problems we're expecting. Well, who invented them? They're saying we're working on solving the problem as if they're great heroes of human society. They made the problem in the first place. And now they're talking, now we're going to save you. Well, you made the problem, you rascal. You're talking, we're going to save you. But who made the problem? You made it. Huh? I punch you in the face and then I say, don't worry, I'm bringing the bandage. But why do you punch me in the face in the first place? The same thing, they make such a nasty society and they say we're solving the problem, but they don't solve the problem because they don't know what the problem is. The problem is repeated birth and death. Their whole society is based on trying to enjoy sense gratification. That is the problem. They don't realize. Therefore, their whole progress is in ignorance. So Krishna Conscious Movement is teaching philosophy of Krishna Consciousness. You're not the body. You're not the body, then, well, why are we living like this? Good question. Why should you live like that? You shouldn't. You should live your life how? Performing acts for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. So there is an alternative society. That is the Varnashram society, which is given by Krishna in the Vedic literature. How you can live relatively sanely within this insane world, performing acts for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. So that Krishna is teaching. He says, surrender to me in Gita. This is the ultimate teaching of Gita. But at the same time, we see Arjuna, he wanted to, let me give up everything. Krishna said, no. Mam anusmara yudhya cha. Think of me and fight. Thinking of me, that comes first. He doesn't say, yudhya, first fight and then think of me. Now think of me, that's the main important thing. The fighting that for Arjuna was required, but it's not required for everybody. He was a Kshatriya, therefore he had to fight. But the important thing for everybody is to remember Krishna. But Krishna didn't say, always think of me. Oh, you want to always think of me? Okay, that's very good. Okay, for like leave the fight. No, you have to think of me and fight. The most important thing is to think of Krishna, but not that you neglect what you have to do in the world. You have your worldly duties to perform also. Think of Krishna and fight. Think of Krishna and churn the butter, whatever it may be. Think of Krishna and teach in the school. Think of Krishna and look after your children. So the thinking of Krishna comes first, but not that you neglect your material duties. This Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. How to live in this world and remember Krishna. Remember, to live in this world, that is not important, but we are here. So how do we live in this world so that we can remember Krishna? That Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. All the acharyas, they teach us the highest philosophy, how to remember Krishna. And specifically, Prabhupada has wanted to teach this, which actually no previous acharya, the Vaishnava acharyas, they didn't teach how to live in Varnashram system because it was already there. Manu, he gave the laws for the Varnashram system. But the Vaishnava acharyas, Ramanuja acharya, Madhva acharya, Vishnu Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna acting as Vaishnava acharya, they didn't give the rules and regulations for living according. They taught their followers to act within the Varnashram system and practice bhakti. But they didn't have to teach this because their system was already there. Now for the first time, it's the prerogative of those who are living Krishna conscious to act, to show people how to live in this world, to act for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual world. So that's a very great directive and responsibility for all members of this movement to practice Krishna consciousness and teach others how to live in this world while being Krishna conscious. It's difficult in the modern society because the modern society has a different aim of life. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted that those who are preaching, they should be in the cities, those who are dedicated to preaching. But as much as possible, he wanted the Grihastha devotees to move to the land and show people how you can live You don't need all the so-called amenities of modern life. Lead a simple life, chant Hare Krishna, and in this way, live your life performing acts for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Sane life. Modern city life is progressed in insanity. Exactly how human beings should not live, they're setting the example. So, one of the duties of Krishna conscious devotees, important duty, 50% Prabhupada said of his work, to establish society so people can see how we don't have to live in this city life, living in pigeonholes, Prabhupada used to say this apartment blocks, living in no space, just everyone. There's a plot of land, build up, and then stick 500 people in one building. No space to move. Functional. Functional means you're crammed in that hole, don't take up too much space, and you can all go in the cram in the bus and go to the factory. So it's functional for a demoniac society, but it's not functional. It doesn't lend itself to spiritual advancement. Therefore, all devotees should seriously consider that how we should act in this world for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom. How to teach this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and show others practically how we can live in this world according to that philosophy. That means Varnashram system. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? And maybe many questions. All right, well, the question may be, well, what is the Varnashram system like? So that leads me into my commercial. You can read all about it in this book here. This is based on my experiences and the experiences of others in traditional Indian life, which is based on that spiritual culture of living simply, and acting for the sake of ultimate spiritual elevation. So where our movement should be going towards, this book gives an idea of that. So I'm interested that devotees could read this. If you can spend some time in India, especially living in the village, Vaishnava village, that would be best, but not everyone can do that, so at least you can get some idea from this. Another very important part of Vaishnav culture is prasadam distribution. So I was just in Moscow, and devotees there gave me some prasad from the deities of Gornitai in Moscow to share the affection of the devotees in Moscow for devotees in Slovenia who are worshipping Gornitai here. They gave some prasad which I should distribute to you, so I'll do that now. If you like, you can give me some also. I'll take to the devotees there. I'm going back again day after tomorrow, so we can have a cultural exchange. Russia-Slovenia friendship by distributing prasadam. So, you have to come here. I'm not going to go there. You can tell a bit.